knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler unto them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. All God's people say it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight to have the privilege of coming to this Sunday evening service. We're so thankful, Lord, for all the blessings that you've given to us in this time that we face, and you've kept us, and we're still here, and we're so thankful for that. Thankful for the new member of the church this evening. We're so thankful for that also, and we pray that the Lord would continue to add souls, save souls, and Lord, be sure to, if it's according to your will, I pray that you use the radio broadcast tomorrow too to perhaps touch someone that's listening. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and amen. Now what I'm going to do, the title of the message this evening is The Keys to Wisdom. The Keys to Wisdom. Of course, when you're talking about Proverbs, that's what the whole book really is about, keys to wisdom. And that's what Proverbs is all about. Most of the Proverbs were written by the king. Most of them was written by the king. King Solomon, King David, he also wrote some different ones. And what I want to do this evening is just work down from Proverbs 2 down to verses 1 through 9. We're just going to walk our way through it real slowly. So slowly as I can, anyhow. So, my son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now, what does it mean to hide his commandments with you? What does that mean? What's it to have it in your heart? See, we need, sometimes people read, and everybody should read your Bible, but we need to have the commandments off the written page and in our heart where we can use them. I remember when I worked at Russell Stanley in the drum plant, I did a lot of witnessing there. Of course, I did a lot of witnessing there. And one of the things that you would do, of course, you're supposed to be working, and I did work. We did work, but we'd look for opportunities to share the gospel with people. If you're here tonight and born again, let me ask everybody here tonight that's born again and saved. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you ever done it? I mean, that's something you really need to think about, because we're the people that shares it. Do y'all agree? We're the one that shares it. So I think it's important that God's people, especially when I was working, I would pray for opportunities to share the gospel with people. And I'd like to encourage you to do that. And if you do that with me, starting tonight, in the morning and of the evening, ask the Lord to open up a door of utterance, and of the evening, ask the Lord to open the door of utterance. You know, the Bible says you have not because, if you ain't asked, you probably don't care. There's a lot of, and really, if you don't ask, you really don't care. So, I think we ought to ask, don't you? You should pray for people in your, you got people in your family that's lost you need to be praying for. You got neighbors that are lost that you need to be praying for. You got friends that you need to be praying for. And at the very least, God's people should pray for lost people. I mean, what a loss that would be. So, the Lord does the saving. I know that. But we're also the one that delivers the message. Scripture says we have not because we what? You got to ask. I ask for revival. I ask for the Lord to touch people. I ask for when people are sick. I mean, Lord can do great. Do y'all believe God can do great things? He has all power. So there's no, there's nothing that he cannot do. So, this message title is The Keys, to Wisdom. All right. Number one says he, in chapter two and the verse one of the book of Proverbs, my son, wilt thou receive my words and hide your words whereat? Hide them in you. Now, the reason why you want his word to be in you so that you can use it. When you have it in your heart, like when I talked about we would work on jobs and sometimes you get the opportunity to witness to people and you would use it that way. You'd use it that way. And I would pray. Here's what the scripture says. I would pray for a door of utterance. Let me say it one more time. I would pray for a door of utterance. That's what the scripture says. And a door of utterance is giving you the opportunity to share the gospel to a lost person. Man, if God's people don't pray for a word to reach lost people, man, we've lost our total way altogether, I think. That's a mess to me. That worries me. So one of the things that God's people should do at the very, very least is pray for lost folks. Who do you got in your family that's lost, that you know they're lost? They don't come to church. They don't care about the things of the Lord. You should pray for those people. Amen. That the Lord would touch their hearts and give them an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Hey, God can do things. And like I've already said, we have not because we... Well, you got to ask. Let me ask you another question. What are you asking God to do? What are you asking God to do? I think it's important that we ask God for things. God can do great things. The scripture says he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or even think. I mean, sometimes we'll look at a situation and, man, that's hopeless. Not for God. God can do things. God can do great and mighty things. But we just kind of like, I hate to say it like this, but we kind of like to put him in a box. Kind of like putting him in a box like he can't do anything. He can do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or even think. So it's important. It's important that we do that. Okay? All right, let me read on. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide your commands, where hide them with you. And that's why I went with that, because it needs to be in your heart. It needs to be in your heart. So that you incline your ear into wisdom. Where do you get wisdom at? What is the beginning of wisdom? The knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The book of Proverbs teaches that. The knowledge of the Lord is what is the most important thing that anybody could ever have. Now we know, now sinner people know that there's a God, but I'm talking about a special knowledge, a knowing of God. A knowing of God. And that's the greatest thing anybody could ever have. There's so many lost people in this world. My. So many lost people. You got lost people in your families. You got lost people in your neighborhoods. There's lost people everywhere. Lost people in the schools. Lost people everywhere. And I would hate to think that we wouldn't pray every day for sinner people that are lost. I think that would be a poor thing not to care about lost people. I want to see lost people saved. But in order to do that, man, you first have to have what? Man, you have to have a fire in your heart to see people saved. And sometimes I think God's people need to pray for that. We forget that. We do. We forget that. And I'm telling you, that's the main thing with God's people, I think. I think when someone's been born again, I think they should seek to win others, where they work at, where they go to school at, and all these things we've already talked about already. But it's important that people share the message with other people. We got a radio broadcast, we got the internet ministry and all these kinds of things, but the best way to get them is to go out and get them where they're at. You got to go where the sheep's at. You got to go where they're at. You got to go where they're at. Yeah, you do. There's a lot of lost sheep in this old world. Y'all agree? You got lost sheep in your family? Do you ever try to get them? How do you try to get them? You knock them in the head? No. How do you try to get them? You pray for them for one thing, and you get them the gospel another thing. And when you have an opportunity to share the gospel with them, you do that. But for crying out loud, the very least you should do is pray. The very least you should do is pray. God can do great things. God can do great things with regard to sinner people. He can touch people's heart, and He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can. So, let's read on now. I want to try to get this done this evening, which don't mean nothing. All right. Verse 2, so that thou incline your ear with wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And that's what you do when you're born again. You want to have the understanding. And you want people to have understanding of Christ and salvation. And I hope you understand what salvation is tonight. I hope you do. It says, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice to understanding. Of course, one of the reasons why we come to church is so that we can gain more knowledge. So that when we leave out of here, see, we come in here to worship, right? But when we leave out of here, we leave out of here to serve. We really do. We come and we worship, and then when we leave out, maybe you got a neighbor beside of you or a friend beside of you, and then you seek to win other people to Christ. Man, I love to do that. Do you? It's a wonderful thing to see people saved, don't you think? It's a wonderful thing. But you have to have a zeal for it. You got to have a fire for it. Where you really want to see people saved. It's not one of these deals where you try to cram it down their throat or anything. I've seen that happen before, and all it did was make the people mad. I'm talking about a kind presentation of the gospel to someone that's lost. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit can take that message and open the heart of that person. All right. How many of you remember Lydia, the seller of purple? Raise your hand. I just want to say. Who opened her heart? What does it take to open the heart? The Lord does. Yeah, I didn't open my own heart. Who opened my heart was God. Our God deserves the glory for the open heart. Because that's what He did for me. He opened my heart. And when He opens your heart, that changes your soul. You go from being a sinner person and now you're walking in a, what kind of life? You're walking in a new life. One of the things that aggravates me, I get worried about people that make a profession and then they don't live it. I don't like that either. I'm not liking a lot of things sometimes tonight, I guess, but I don't like that either. They make a profession and they'll go along with this a little bit, you know. Use this when they're in trouble. Use this when they're in trouble and they need a little help from the Lord, you know. Like the Lord don't know their heart anyway. And the only reason they did, I've been here 40 years pastoring. And I've seen people come in before, and I thought, I hate to say this in front of everybody, but I'm going to say it anyway. But they come in, and I said, well, I guess they need something. That's exactly what I'll say. I guess they need something. And guess what? They needed something. And once they got what they needed, Mike, you seen it with me, then they leave. Oh, my. Then when they started coming in, I'd say, I ain't giving them nothing. Let them go out and go to work. Let them go out and go to work like they should have been to start with. Yeah. Yeah. Let me move on. I'm getting agitated. An agitated Baptist ain't good. All right, let's read on. All right, verse 3. Yea, if thou Christ after knowledge, and lift up your voice for understanding. That's how you learn God's word, beloved. You have to ask God for it. Do you ever cry out after knowledge? Ma'am, you cry out after knowledge, God will give you knowledge. He's got a book, and He's given us the Holy Spirit. He lifts up your voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and what's he talking about? The main word in this text is understanding. That's the main word. And see it in verse 4. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up your voice for understanding. Like I've already said, when I come to church or when I'm getting ready to go preach somewhere or whatever I do, I have to depend on the Lord to help me with it. And He'll help you. So I cry to Him. I cry to Him. I said, Lord, help me with this thing. I need your hand in this meeting this evening, you know. So you ask for it. So you got to lift up your voice for understanding. The only person that can really, truly give you understanding is the Holy Spirit. Does everybody agree? The Holy Spirit can give you understanding. And He can take things. I've listened to preachers before, and they were good preachers, and I believed what they said, but I thought, man, I don't understand what they're saying. I just can't put it together for some reason. And then I've experienced this understanding part, where the Holy Spirit opened my understanding to it, and then I saw it. I thought, I've had people talk to me about certain doctrine. I said, well, that couldn't be true. And then I'd look at it in the Scripture and I said, well, I might have been wrong on that. Right there it is, looking right at me in the Scripture. So you seek it. You seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. And that's how you study. Beloved, that's how you study. Search like you're looking for buried treasure is actually the meaning of it. Search for it. What people don't do, they read their Bible like they do the newspaper. That's what they do. They don't look at it. They don't read it. They don't take it in. The Bible ain't a newspaper. You have to really look at it. You got to look things up. The difference between study and just reading, what's the difference? Pen and paper, you write things down. You write things down and you look things up. My favorite Bible commentary is the Believer's Bible Commentary by, who is it, Hollis? MacArthur? No, it's the other one. McDonald, that's why I got you here, buddy. But McDonald, that's my favorite commentary. I love it. It's about this thick, covers Genesis all the way to Revelations, and that's my main book, buddy. So why did I get that? That guy's a scholar. Yeah, he ain't a shade tree. He's a scholar. And I can go there and you can learn more from this scholar. See? That's what them commentaries are for. So that you can learn and learn more and grow. See? But you gotta do it. I like to ask you to spend time daily with Jesus in the book. I want you to spend time in prayer, but yeah, that's also prayer. But to spend time in the book, just you and God, with a pen and a piece of paper, get you a good Bible commentary where you can look things up and watch yourself grow. That's what you got to do. And as you grow, you know, here's what I've noticed. When I started growing closer to Jesus, guess what went up? My joy meter went up. My joy meter went up. I got happier and happier because I was learning and growing. I could see things. And it was just blessing my heart all the way around, boy. All of us can do that. We all have a book, right? We all got a Bible. If you don't got a Bible, we'll buy you one. We'll make Stewie buy it. Yeah. If you ain't got a Bible, we'll buy you one. And then you need to have a piece of paper and pen and write it down. Then come the services. You come to the services. We got Sunday school now, right? There you are. We got Sunday school now. I get morning worship. Things are coming back. And the Lord's blessing. And just this little bit amount of time, the Lord's still blessing this little church. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I'm thankful for the Lord for that. Okay? All right. Stay with me. We'll try to shoot for the goal line. Verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver. You ever seen anybody? I used to like to watch that show on TV where they look. Them gold hunters. Y'all like to watch that? Do you watch that too, Uncle Paul? Oh, I love to watch that. Well, here it says, and you ever watch them, they take little pieces of dirt. I said, well, what in the world is this guy's? It wasn't dirt. Looked like it till they got it all sprayed off, but it's gold. Yeah. That's how you study. Did you hear what I just said? That's how you study. You got to go deeper with it. Did you hear what I said? See, well, here's the problem. We don't go deeper with it. We could go just as deep as you want because there's something every one of us got here tonight. Does everybody know what that is? We have the Holy Spirit. All of us have the Holy Spirit. And He's the one that opened my heart to start with. He's the one that gives me the understanding of truth that I've learned. He's the one that's done that. And He could do that for all of us. All God's people say it. There's no negativity as far as that. You just gotta do it. All right. If thou seekest her as silver. Again, we're talking about nothing but applying yourself to study. That's the main thing that I'm looking at tonight. Applying yourself to study. Okay? Seek her as what? Silver. And search for her as hidden treasure. You ever watch them hunt that hidden treasures on television sometimes? Oh, they just scrape a little bit. They don't want to lose anything. A little nugget could be all kinds of money if you lost it. You know, they're real careful. Listen to me now. They're real careful to get every little bit of that gold in. See, that's how the Lord works. Those are gems that you pull out of the Bible. They are gems. They're priceless gems. All right. Read on. Proverbs chapter 4 or chapter. Let me get in the right spot. Proverbs chapter 2. It says, "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure." Then what will happen in verse 5? What's it say? they shall understand the fear of God and to find the knowledge of God. All God's people say it. You can find the knowledge of God. You can find the knowledge of God. Thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What's it mean to find the knowledge of God? You know what? When that happened in my life, it's the day I saved. The knowledge of God's in my heart. And the greatest knowledge you can have is the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that gives you everlasting, eternal life. I don't know how people can live without that. One of these days, we're all going to die. One of these days, that's going to happen. Either you're going to die or Jesus is going to come, either one way or the other. But the most important thing in the world is that you have this everlasting, eternal life in Christ. Beloved, nothing else matters. I'm telling you. My mommy and daddy died this past year, as you already know, because I talk about it, because it hurts still yet. It still hurts a whole lot. And I miss them awful. But I don't know if I could stand that if I didn't know that they're with the Lord. Now, I believe that they're still living, do y'all? I think they're still living this a whole lot better. I don't think Dad has that good pasture goofy disease that he had that nobody ever heard of. Good pasture syndrome was what he had. And he suffered with that. And then Mommy got sick after that. And, man. But God's still on his throne, ain't he? And it gives you grace to continue on. And, beloved, here's why I'm doing this. I probably should be crying, but I ain't. You know why I ain't crying? I know where they're at. I know I'm going to see them again. Ain't that a wonderful thing? That nothing's lost when you know where it's at, you know? It's a great thing. I know where they're at, so. I didn't cry. I said, there ain't no sense in me crying. For one thing, it ain't going to bring them back. The other thing, they're happier than I am. All God's people say it. They're happier than I am. And that's a blessed thing to be. I got to finish this up. I'm getting windy with my old age, I guess. No, I'm not that old. Not that old. Let me go ahead and wind this up. You're awful, Stewie. At Proverbs 2, and I'm going to try to run it down and get down to where we was at. Proverbs chapter 2, and what we're going to look at now is verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then thou shalt find and understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And I got that. The greatest thing you can have is the wisdom of the fear of God. And that's what he does. Verse 7. He layeth down sound wisdom for the righteous. Who's the righteous? I want you to tell me that one. Who's the righteous? Yes, the righteous is those that have been born again. And they have God's imputed righteousness. That's what I was after. Yeah, when God saved my soul and God saved your soul, if you're not saved, He gives you, Uncle Paul, His righteousness. You know, some people say, well, I'm afraid I ain't going to make it. I'm afraid I haven't done enough. I'm afraid I haven't done enough. Look up here at me. You haven't done enough. That's why you needed Jesus. He did enough. That's why we sing that song, Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay it half. Thank God he didn't pay it half. He paid it all and he paid it in full. All God's people say it. We better stop this all stand. I'd keep going if I wanted to, but I'm going to shut her down right now. Thank you for your attention this evening. So good to see you out here on this Sunday evening. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless